inspiring interviews, provocative people. Get ready. Get bold today with your Emmy-winning host, LeGron Green.
Join the conversation at GetBoldToday.com. Like us on Facebook at GetBoldToday. Tweet us at GetBoldToday. And my guest today is someone who's been bold yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Her name is Banoshe Agalagi, and she is here today on Bold. Welcome, Banoshe.
Thank you for having me, LeGron. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Banoshe, I want to just introduce you to our audience. And I know that you have a legendary career as a peace activist. You're also an author of a new book of prose called Beautiful Reminders. And I'd like to take a second to remind the audience about the peace that we're looking for is within. How have you come to that in your own work?
Great question. It's actually been the question that I've been kind of struggling with, challenged with, and more at ease with perhaps the last 10 years of my life, but most significantly the last three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about peace work in the human rights arena, and we're looking ongoingly outside of ourselves. You know, we can't get to peace until there's peace in Israel and Palestine. We can't get to peace until there's peace in Iraq. We can't get to peace until there's peace in, you know, the downtowns of our cities in the United States. We can't get to peace. We just can't get to peace. We say until those things out there have found their solutions and have calmed down and they're peaceful, then at that point, yes, then we can get to peace. And what I've been looking at and from my own spiritual practices and my own spiritual learnings from Hinduism to Buddhism to Zoroastrianism, name the ism.
Any ism out there, folks. Any ism. There's a lot of isms out there. Okay.
There are a lot of isms. And I've been, you know, reading them, and I've been a student of them, and I've been looking to employ them. And it wasn't until the latter part of 2011 when I went to a silent meditation retreat, the Vipassana 10-day meditation retreat, that it really just, you know, became the embodiment of what these lessons were, which was that a peace arises from within. You know, we talk about it as a esoteric conversation. We talk about it as something that's very, you know, mental. And it's a rare moment in a day or a rare moment in a week or even in one's lifetime that we really get the essence of that, you know, just so we could take a moment and just be with those words. That peace arises from within. So that means I could be in the middle of any of those scenarios that I spoke about,
mm-hmm.
and that all of that chaos could be happening around me, and that I could still arise from peace. That it's peaceful where I am. And so if it's peaceful where I am, then what kind of thoughts will be originated from that space? What kind of words would be originated from that space? What kind of actions would arise from that space? And so then we start to see that, it's not about my changing anything out there. And though all of those events that I spoke about are real and need to be approached and found solutions for and done so hand in hand and collectively. But I wonder if we were to approach it as from this space, what kind of solutions would arise? And so when I started that inquiry for myself and was in that 10-day meditation retreat and came out, then about 90 days or so after Legrand, these mm-hmm. words started to spew, like just kept coming at the early morning hours. And I started writing them and writing them some more and writing them some more. And here we are now 2 years and a half after, and I have the equivalent of 5 books of prose waiting for publication. And they're called beautiful reminders because all they have been are reminders to me. See, I don't think that they're coming and arising from the mind me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Let me unpack that, Banache, because I understand what that means, but a lot of listeners out there are going, the mind me? What?
Can you
break that down for us? What is that?
how many me's are you? So there is, I really believe, and there are others who have the same viewpoint, that, you know, there's the mind that controls what we're feeling and thinking and being, right? So we think that that is who we are.
Right.
We think we are our mind.
And what we're thinking.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we're feeling and we're... But that there's, you know, I'd like to suggest that there's actually a deeper, pure essence of who we are. And that it's in that stillness and in our quiet that we can hear the me, the you, the I of who I am. And in that stillness, is in that purity, well, that's peace. That purity is the one that isn't being inflicted by who we think we should be and who the world is expecting us to be and who we are striving so desperately to become, but rather who we just are, which is grace and perfection and brilliance. And then in that space, well, as I said earlier, what thoughts would arise? What words would be created? What actions would we see in the world? And they would be consistent with that inner essence of purity of who we are. They would be brilliance. They would be just this grandness. And the last 3 years, I've subsequently gotten married.
Oh, she's married. She's a married woman.
Which is like really a big deal because, you know, I got married at the age of 45 and thought that wasn't going to be in the cards for me. I was really clear that my work was what was driving me, and my family, my parents and my brother, you know, and my friends fulfilled me. And that's all I needed. And I'm in this union now that we call a sacred union with a, you know, technologist, MBA technologist, and I'm sitting across from him as a lawyer. So we're very mind people, right? And we're ongoingly attaching ourselves to that essence that I was just describing, to the inner core of ourselves, to have that space guide who we are for each other, who we are for our family, and who we are for our community.
And Banache, how do you tie that into your work? Because like I said, I met you, you're Miss Activist, you're Miss High Powered Attorney, and now you're a poet, and you're married. Mm-hmm. And what was the shift for you to write beautiful reminders?
I just took a time out, Grand. As I said, it was the latter part of 2011 after the creation of 2 human rights organizations, leading the Western region for Amnesty International, being a consultant for the United Nations.
Yeah, you've been busy. I know, Banache was the leading person doing a lot of the activism work after 9/11 and getting a lot of those laws looked at.
And then I was asked to explore a race for Congress, and I looked at that option for literally 6 weeks, and that was it. And I just said, this isn't it. You know, I can continue down this path of us against them.
Mm-hmm.
I can continue down this path of finding all the problems and then trying to find all the solutions, because what we don't see is that inside the solutions, more problems arise. And so now you've got to go and find new solutions for those problems, and so on and so on. None of this is working. And so, as I said, it was during that meditation retreat that something that I had just kept seeing repeatedly was in my mind's eye. And I'm going to try to explain it while, you know, we're not physically in front of one another.
Mm-hmm.
But see if you could kind of follow in your mind's eye with me. But you know how we can see a pencil in front of us vividly? And the reason we can see the pencil that we might be holding up in front of us vividly is because everything around that pencil is not that pencil.
Right.
Meaning it might be a wall, it might be a dresser, it might be a desk, it might be anything else, but it's anything else but not that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that if everything around it were the pencil, then the pencil wouldn't be seen. It just would be a sea of that, correct?
Right.
So I just kept seeing that as it related to no peace. Insert whatever the no peace is. You know, violations against women, wars, children, no peace. Well, the reason why I could see the no peace existing was because everything around the no peace was not that. So then what was it? It was just not that. So what is the antithesis of no peace? It's peace. And I tell you, I had such a hard time, like getting my head around. Are you saying then to yourself, Manasseh? I don't know if you ever talk to yourself.
Well, hey, wait. I talk to myself all the time. Although people think I'm a little crazy, and I guess you might be right. But I don't think of it as talking to myself. I think of it as thinking out loud.
Okay? Loud, yes.
Yeah, thinking out loud.
Yeah. So in that moment, I was literally saying out loud, so are you saying that there is more peace than there is no peace?
Let's stop
and
there.
So then where, yeah?
That, yeah?
Can you see that?
Well, I just want to pause you there for a moment, because repeat that again, because that's something I don't want to just disappear from our listeners' ears. You said could there be more peace than no peace?
Yeah. Because just like that pencil, the reason why I could see the pencil, the reason why you can see the pencil in a space that is just the pencil that you see, is because everything else around it is not the pencil. So the reason why I can see the no peace, whatever that issue is that is not peaceful, is because everything around it has to be peaceful, has to be not that.
Right.
For it to stand out from its background. You get that? It's
so,
got to be more of the other than what we're concentrating on.
Yeah, what we're focusing on is what we are. This is pretty, to say that in a very simple way, what you are focusing on is what you are focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're choosing to focus on that pencil, whatever point of focus may be. But beyond that point of focus that you've chosen is a whole other existence.
And it cannot be seen. It wouldn't be seen if the backdrop of it was something different than that. If the sides of it was something different than that, if the foreground of it was something different than that, if above it and below it was something different than that, if it was all that, it couldn't be seen. You see what I mean?
Right.
So when you start to step back and we start stepping back away from that moment, from that scene, and we start looking at the globe, we start looking at the nation state, we start looking at the township, we start looking at the street, we look at the home, we come back to the us, the me, the you, we can see that there's really a heck of a lot more peace taking place than there is not peace taking place.
That is very powerful, because it makes that makes me pause because it goes back to what we talk about a lot. Like there's a famous quote, I believe it's Michael Beckwith from the Agape International Spiritual Center in L.A., a little plug for Michael Beckwith, and he says that headlines are prayer requests from the universe, that what we choose as our headlines, not so much about what is happening, not even so much why it's happening, but looking at what's happening in you in response to how you can bring forth the peace from within to... Actually, I don't know if it's bringing the peace from within. If you are the peace, that famous phrase, you know, be the peace,
be the peace.
When you are the peace, nothing else really matters. You're the peace, so you're walking in that space of peace.
That's it. I mean, when you can start to see... You asked me what happened, right? Like, how did I go from all that I was doing for 13 years, preparing myself with law school for
and
political science, you know, education prior to that. Like, that was my world.
Let me just give Anushree a shout out here. You can't get much bigger credits than she has, you know? She was a constitutional attorney. She was doing all this. She's a law professor. She's a peace actor. She's on the international stage. She's working. She's considering a run for Congress. And I will say, Anushree, I know lots of people, from people like Oprah Winfrey, you know, international superstar, to I know people who are out there doing things and running, you know, countries and running companies and making, I know, a couple of billionaires. But you're the only person I know who was actually considering a run for Congress, and bravo to you.
Thank you.
But you moved from,
thank you.
You moved from the considering that, because you didn't actually do it because it was not the direction to go, but you definitely were considering it. And you moved from that, and you're like, this is not the direction I want to go in. This is not what my soul is calling me to do. So you went to a meditation retreat. And and what happened there was not what you were expecting.
Yeah, it's just profound, you know, when you listen to the call from within. You know, they say your first the universe taps you on the shoulder to get your attention, then it might slap you on the face, then it might like take something to your head, then it might take something to your full body, but it will get your attention. And so it got my attention, and it had been oncoming for several years prior to that moment to try to get my attention, whether it was health-related issues, whether it was just, you know, there were just stuff that the universe was trying to get my attention. It's that voice I was speaking about that becomes louder, that's inside of you. That pure essence of you is what you can start to hear when everything else hushes down.
So, Anushree, I know you have a book of prose coming out that has emerged from your time in the silence and your work with yourself over the past couple of years. Tell us about that.
Yeah, love to talk to you about that. So it's entitled Beautiful Reminders, and there are silent moments that I have, and then these words will arise in those moments. And then I'll read them after I've written them down, and I'll see that they're a message for me. And I've been sharing them with others, and they've been saying thank you for that, because they've been waiting for that same message. And given that we're universally connected, I can see that they're not just a message for me, but they're a beautiful reminder for us all. And so they're small prose that I'm also connecting with some of my photography. And there will be 30 of them in each book, and one will come out each month. And the idea behind it is that you, as the reader, would open it up with a thought and a meditation and a question, however you'd like to approach the book for the day, and open it up, and there'll be a message waiting for you, and for you to utilize that message for the totality of the day and share it, give it to others. And so each month will be a new beautiful reminder waiting for you, and for the duration of 1 year. So we will walk through 2015 together as this unveils itself. It's really exciting. It's my first time expressing myself this way in the world. I have some hesitation. I have some concerns.
What is that?
A lot of excitement.
Wait, is it just a normal fear of being a new author? Is it because you're sharing?
All of that.
Like I said, and because it's just so different for you. I mean, you are
you are
Miss Attorney, and just know that this is a beautiful book of beautiful reminders by a beautiful soul named Vanushe Adwage.
Thank you,
Vanushe.
So
thank you. We can't wait to see that book. If you like what you heard, join the conversation at getboldtoday.com. Facebook us, tweet us. We close as always. Shift happens right where you are. Be the change and get bold today.